So our text verse today is going to be out of the book of Lamentations. We don't preach out of Lamentations very often, but this one got laid on my heart and apparently was the message the Lord wanted preached today, since it went with music and testimonies and everything else that's been going on so far. So in Lamentations chapter 3, right after the book of Song of Solomon, we're going to read verses 55 to 58. I called upon thy name, O Lord, out of the low dungeon. Thou hast heard my voice. Hide not thine ear at my breathing, at my cry. Thou drewest near in the day that I called upon thee. Thou sayest, fear not. O Lord, thou hast pleaded the causes of my soul. Thou hast redeemed my life. Now, if you know anything about this book, the book written by the prophet Jeremiah, he's called the weeping prophet, and weeping prophet for good reason. And, you know, we think about the fact that he's a weeping prophet, like we say, oh, well, he was a man who cried. Well, that's true. But you have to understand the purpose or the reason why he was crying. He wasn't crying because of the fact that people were coming against him, although they did, that they threw him in a pit, in a dungeon, because they did, because they didn't want to hear his words, because they didn't. But he was weeping because he spent, you know, chapter after chapter in the book of Jeremiah telling them, judgment is coming, judgment is coming. You got to turn back to God, repent. And, you know, all kinds of sins were going on in the nation of Israel at the time. And I guess to be accurate, I'll say the southern kingdom of Judah. And the people rejected it. When we get to the book of Lamentations, what's happening is, you know, he prophesied this was going to happen. Now it is. So they're in the midst of the destruction that God said was going to come if they didn't turn back. The reason he's weeping is because he sees the state of God's chosen people. These are the people God said, you know, we're supposed to be a light to the world. These are my people that I have given my word to, who are going to take it out and tell the world who I am. And they completely rejected him. Now, there's always a remnant that is faithful, and I understand that, and I don't want anybody to think that I'm like just, you know, hammering on the Jews. But the fact is that the remnant that was faithful wasn't able to have such an impact that it was able to turn the hearts of the rest of the nation back to God. So, you know, he's at the point now where, you know, the Chaldeans have come into the country, they've overrun the people, and they've taken people back into the Babylonian kingdom. They've destroyed the temple, they've destroyed the city of Jerusalem, and he's crying over this. So his weeping is for his people, not for himself, and we have to understand that. We get into these problems in our own lives, and, you know, woe is me, right? Like Ken was saying, you can sit there and say, woe is me, but you know what? Our hearts should be breaking for our nation, because our nation is on the verge. Our nation is actually already over the verge. So, you know, it's going off the precipice, and we don't know how to pull it back. We are the Christians who are supposed to be the ones who tell the world there's hope. There's a God who's greater than this world. You know, the things that are going on in this world, it's tragic. You know, you see it every day, and it's heartbreaking. We are crying just like Jeremiah. I'm weeping, Lord, help me. But not just me, help my people, Christians as well as the non-believers. We all need help. So, you know, here he's, you know, I don't know the exact time frame, if this is at the point when, you know, he was thrown in a pit, he was left to die. They didn't like to hear what he was saying. You know, people are not going to want to hear what you're saying when you're talking about God. When God says, hey, this is what's going to happen. If you don't put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you're going to hell. You're going to burn for eternity. You got to tell people the truth. You can't just tell them the good news and say, well, now they're going to like me. They're going to be my friend. You got to tell them the bad news too. But see, when you tell them the bad news, how many are going to turn and listen to you? We get a small fraction, right? And that's what's happening to Jeremiah. He's got a small fraction that maybe have turned, but the remainder of the nation is still going on its merry way. Oh, there's nothing wrong. You know, we're still perfectly fine. I still have a roof over my head. I'm still getting food. You know, I have my job. I have my family. You know, all things do not continue as they always have. That's a fallacy that the world is throwing at us. But because he gave them bad news, he was going to be persecuted. He was being persecuted at this time that we're looking at. So, you know, I call this the prophet accused. Well, I mean, the title today was called Fear or Fire. Fear or Fire. Easy to write. It was hard for me to say. But right now, we're at a point where the prophet is accused. What's he accused of? He's accused of telling them bad news. We don't want to hear that stuff. Well, is that the standard for knowing whether or not a person is speaking God's word? If it is, we're all in big trouble. So, you know, if the prophet is accused, so are we. But look over in the book of Deuteronomy. Keep your place here in Lamentations because we're going to come back. Deuteronomy 13. God gives Israel the standard for how to know whether a prophet is a true prophet of God. So in Deuteronomy 13, verses 1 to 5, it says, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. Ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he hath spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of thee. So, ding, ding, ding. Number one, if that prophet tells you things that he says, the Lord told me to tell you this, and it's something that takes you away from God unto other gods, that's false. That's as clear as it can be. I mean, I don't think that one requires a college education to understand. Why would God send you somebody to tell you to go after other gods, right? That's not going to happen. But while you're in Deuteronomy, go over to chapter 18. Here's the other standard that God has. 18 verses 18 to 22. He says, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and I will put thy words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou shalt say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is a thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. So the other standard that God tells us is if he prophesies something and it doesn't come to pass, he's not telling you the things that God has told you. So here we are with Jeremiah. Jeremiah spends the whole book of Jeremiah telling him chastisement, destruction, wrath of God is coming upon you because you did not listen to him. And now in the book of Lamentations, it's true. It's already upon them. It's happening. And what do? They throw him in a dungeon. They throw him in a pit. So, well, he told them what was coming to pass. What does that tell you? Their motivation is not based on God's word. Their motivation is based on their own feelings, their own emotions, their own desires. He's telling you things that we don't want to hear. You say, well, Pastor, we're not Israel. We're not the Jews. So that doesn't apply to us. Like, okay, to some degree, I'm going to agree with you because we don't have prophets today. We have this. This is our prophet today. We have the Word of God. It tells us everything we need to know. Old Testament and New Testament. If you have a person standing up in front of you saying that Old Testament no longer pertains to the church today, they are lying to you. You need the whole Bible. The whole Bible gives us a full picture of everything that God wants us to know. Now go, keep your place in Lamentations. Hold it there. Go over to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7. Now, you know, I'm not these are the red letters, so Jesus said this, so these are really important. I'm not that kind of guy, but Jesus said this, so it's really important, okay? Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 to 20. Jesus says, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." You know these people. They come all meek and mild, and they try to become your friend, and then they try to begin to tell you things that start to swerve your faith, cause you to doubt. "Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Of course not. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth good fruit is hewn down and cast in." Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. So when you have people coming to you and they're trying to tell you things about God, and you see, and then what do? Then they invite you to go to the bar on Saturday. Well, you know what? Ding, 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 right? Warning bells go off. Hey, this isn't right. This shouldn't be happening. You know, if you're telling me about God and I'm supposed to be trusting you, why am I going to a bar? Why am I going to do these things that God's word says should not be done by a Christian? And they say, oh, well, we're going to go to the bar and we're going to start to preach to people. We're going to evangelize. No. That's not the place to go to evangelize. I'll tell you right that. Strong drink causes the mind to not function properly. And you can't be trying to evangelize people after they've been drinking. It's not a good time. So, you know, you have to understand, you know, there's a place and a time to evangelize. The bar is not one of those places, amongst other places that the world likes to go to. So we have Jeremiah here in the book of Lamentations that we read in our text verse. He's having a crisis. He sees what's going on around him. And, you know, when we started off, he says, in reality, if you read this chapter, you would see that there's a change that happens in Jeremiah. If you look at I should stick with my notes. Okay, I'm going to go back a little bit. A little further than that. Three, verse 3 of chapter 3. Jeremiah says, surely against me he is turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. Then drop down to verse 8. Also when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. And then down to verse 44. Thou hast covered thyself with a cloud, that our prayer should not pass through. Now, see, there's a couple of things that are happening here. Jeremiah cries unto God, and he's like, Lord, you're not hearing my prayer. But in 44, he says that he's got a cloud that shutteth our prayer. So you see, what happens when you tell people, chastening's coming, God's going to chastise you, there's going to be a problem in your life when if you don't get right with God, and the problems come, what happens? Oh, Lord, they start to cry out to God, right? Well, now, he says, well, you put a cloud up and my prayers can't get through. You had ample time all through the book of Isaiah, Jeremiah, to turn back to God, and you didn't. Now, when the chastisement comes, when his wrath comes upon you, you think you're going to just say, oh, Lord, I'm ready, I'm coming back, and it's all going to be forgotten? No. The chastisement will come until it's fulfilled and its purpose is done by God. And then God will hold his hand. His intent is not to destroy, but his intent is to bring people back to him. If you're sins are so great that you think that I can continue to sin and that the moment something bad happens in my life, I'm just going to say, oh, Lord, all right, that was a problem. I'm sorry. And then everything's going to be a bed of roses. That's not going to happen. The problem with sin is sin has a price. And no matter how far down that sin road you go, the price gets greater and greater and greater. Can God forgive you? Absolutely. He can forgive every sin that you've ever sinned. But does that mean that all the problems that are associated with your sin go away? No. If you spend 20 years in addiction to drugs and then you get saved, do you think that next day, all of a sudden, there's no impact from the drugs that you've done for 20 years? No. Your body has already been partly destroyed by that. And you're going to have an impact on all that. But you know what? The body may be destroyed, but God saved your soul. And you may die in a week. You may die in 2 years, in 20 years. But you get to go to eternity. If you died while you were still in the midst of your drug addiction, you would just go to a burning hell. And that would not be what God wanted. So God chastises us to try to bring us back to him. We have the choice. Do I want to listen to God or do I want to ignore him? Now we've got Jeremiah. Jeremiah, God calls Jeremiah while he was yet in the womb, it says, right? And he says, I have a purpose for you. Now, you know, I don't know. I find that absolutely amazing. I guess I'm standing here because God had a purpose for me even before I was born. But you know what? It took me 30 years to figure out that God had a purpose for me. I didn't know it. Actually, it took longer than that. It took 30 years before I got saved. But another, 15 years or so after that before I realized what God wanted me to do. But, you know, Jeremiah is doing exactly what God wanted him to do. He's going to the people. He's speaking God's word. And what's his reward? He's thrown in a pit. Okay, Jeremiah, die now, you dog. We don't want to hear any more from you. And it's not like just any pit. And you look at it described. I mean, he's like sinking in the muck and the mire in the pit. And he's like up to his armpits. And he's just being left to die. That's not a pleasant death. That they want you to just die like no food, no water, no really good air. And, you know, that's a slow death. It's terrible. And all he did was serve God. And you know, we don't like to hear that. All I'm doing is serving you, Lord. Why am I having all these problems? Well, go over to 1 Peter. We are coming back to Lamentations, I promise. But go over to 1 Peter, chapter 2. And we're going to read verses 19 to 21. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 19 to 21. You know how Paul says, oh, you should joy in your tribulation? Peter, he's going to tell you something else here. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye should take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable unto God. For even thereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Isn't that fun? We should be thankworthy. God, I'm having these problems. Thank you very much. How often do you do that? I don't. It takes me a long time to get to the point where I say, hey, Lord, I know there's a reason why this is happening. Now, not as long as it used to take me, but it still takes me some time. But, you know, we got to be thankful, right? And bear it patiently. Why? Because just like Christ suffered, we're going to suffer too. So, you know, that's very encouraging, you know. But it is. It actually is encouraging. I mean, if you're suffering for the things that you do wrong and you bear it, well, where's the glory in that, right? That's what Peter's telling us. But if you suffer for the things that you do right, then you know what? That means that you are emulating the one that you love. You are emulating Christ in your life. So if you suffer like Christ suffered, then you're doing what is right. And that should bring you joy. It's not joyful while you're in the midst of it, but it should bring you joy to understand that. Now, how does Jeremiah get past this? Remember what we read in our text verse in the book of Lamentations? He says, I lost my spot. All right. I'm in verse 57. Okay, let's go back. Verse 56. Thou hast heard my voice. Hide not thine ear at my breathing, at my cry. Thou drewest near in the day that I called upon thee. Thou sayest, fear not. So what was his encouragement? God heard him when he cried out to God. And what did God say? I know you're going through some trials, but you know what? Don't fear. Why? Because I'm here with you. That's basically what he's telling him. Now, as I said, it's really hard to be in that situation and say, okay, this is great, right? But you know that scripture, tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. Jeremiah had a lot of tribulation in his life. Jeremiah had a lot of experiences in his life. Jeremiah saw how God carried him through all those things. Just like Ken's testimony today, right? All the things that have been going on, he says, I'm blessed of God. Jeremiah is the same way. I'm blessed of God. That gave him hope. See, when we're in the midst of those problems in our lives, we have to think back. Did God forsake me right now? No. Every time I've been in trouble in my life, I'm 60-something years old. I'm not going to tell you how many, but I'm 60-something years old. From the time that I got saved, 30 years old, until now, God has never, ever, ever forsaken me. I've gone through things, and he has strengthened me through those. He has provided all that I needed. Why would I doubt now when something happens in my life that God is with me? It makes absolutely no sense. That's why we have this book. We see all the things that people have gone through time and time again in history, and how those that did not continue to trust in God fell away and were destroyed. But those that were faithful to God, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Daniel, Jonah, the second half of Jonah, Gideon, right? I mean, you see these people, these men of faith, right? And you see what they've done, and you say, all right, you know, why were they able to do that? This is before the Holy Spirit indwelt them. Folks, we have a blessing today. When you get saved, God comes and lives within us. He can't get any closer. So when you go through your problem, do you think God says, oh, that's it, I'm out of here? No, he's in you. Excuse me. I can only yell for so long. He's in you. And when he says he'll never leave you nor forsake you, he says, there's no room for rent here. This is my permanent abode. He's going to stay with you forever and ever and ever. The day that he returns to take us home, we will not just have his spirit within us, but we will be in his presence, and we will be living in his house, not him living in this house. This house is terrible. You know how this house feels every morning when you get up, right? This is not the place that Jesus wants to reside forever and ever and ever. But he's going to give me a new body, and he's going to give me a new home. And that's what I'm looking forward to. These are the things that have to go through our mind. We have to look at our experiences that God has shown us that he's been faithful. And we have to remain faithful to him because he's been faithful to us. So the problems that we go through, we can't let them tear us down. We have to overcome through him because he's always been there for us. All right. Now, remember that verse that you asked me about earlier? Yeah. If I was smart, I would have looked because it was right here. Yeah. So Lily read a verse when she's just before she sang her song out of the book of Isaiah, chapter 43. You know, it sounded really familiar to me. verse 2. Yeah, Isaiah 43, verse 2. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Now, you know, does that mean that you can run into a building that's on fire and you know that everything will be just fine? No, but He's giving us a symbolic understanding. These are like the worst things that can happen to you. See, I'm afraid of drowning. When I read passages like that where, you know, he says the waters will not overflow you, yay, I'm so happy. I don't like water above my neck. I can swim, but I don't like water above my neck. But, you know, He's making a point. You know, you can be in deep water, deep water caused by yourself. You can be in the fire, a fire that might be caused by yourself, but he's still with you. Now, in Jeremiah's case, he may be in that for things that he did not do. Remember when I mentioned that verse about how tribulation worketh patience, and patience worketh hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. Well, what does that mean? See, when we're not ashamed, I'm not ashamed when I have a hope that is in my life because I'm doing the things that God has asked me to do. My shame comes when I don't do the things of God and I start having issues in my life. So when things are happening in your life, like Jeremiah right now, when he's in this pit, he's not ashamed of having served God because he's doing the things God had asked him to do. He's trusting that God will be with him even in the midst of this pit. That's a wonderful thing. So, you know, we have to always look. What is the scripture telling me? Yeah, Jeremiah, that's an old book, you know, that's Old Testament stuff. Who's this guy Jeremiah is? He's never even been around. I've never seen him. Well, yeah, but you will one day. That's great. But you know what? There's wisdom in that book. And we need to apply that wisdom even in our lives. All right. Now, I don't know where the time went, but I'm running out of time. All right. Now, I'm going to skip forward a little bit, just because I don't have time. But I started off the message saying we have problems in our world. There are things going on in our world. You know, Scripture says that the day will come when they will call evil good and good evil. Well, folks, that day has come. That day is here. When you stand up for what is right, when you say, I have the right to free assembly, I have a right to come and attend church, who gives the government the right to say, hey, churches have to be closed? We just went through that. Churches have to be closed, but that liquor store can be open. That, I don't even know, massage parlor, I don't know what the heck it was, still can be open. Well, how does that make any sense? COVID stops in a liquor store? I mean, you know, give me a break. So all kinds of things start to happen because people that are in power end up stamping out your rights. It was the same thing in Jeremiah's day. The people he's talking to are the religious leaders. They're the ones that are supposed to be guiding the people, but they don't want to hear it. We have the same problem in our world. Our representatives, and I know this is going to get posted on the internet, our representatives are not representing us. We are supposed to vote them in, or guess what? Vote them out. And, you know, if they're not going to represent us and they're going to just do what lines their pocket, same thing in the Old Testament, folks, it's never changed. It's always been there. It's the heart of man, the natural heart of man. Who says that I can't tell people that God's word says that a man should not have a relationship with another man? That a woman should not have a relationship with another woman. I'm not talking friends. I'm talking intimate relations. Bible is very clear about that. Bible is very clear. Marriage is between a man and a woman. The Bible is very clear that a woman should not dress like a man and a man should not dress like a woman. Well, guess what? We have all kinds of stuff going on right now. There are times when you can walk downtown and you're walking behind somebody and they're wearing a suit and you don't even know it's a woman until they turn around. And then, God forbid, there are times when I'm walking behind what I thought was a woman and then they turn around and, oh boy, no, that's not a woman. Or they open their mouth, right? It's an abomination. But you know, if you tell people it's an abomination in our country, the land of the free, do you think people are going to just say, okay? No, you're going to be thrown in the pit, just like Jeremiah. But you know, when that happens, folks, see, we have to understand, God calls watchmen to watch. We are all watchmen. Some of us may have a better perspective than others, but we are all to look. We're supposed to observe the times, right? See what's going on around you. You need to be prepared because you're going to be a Jeremiah one day, if you're not already. And if you're a Jeremiah, what are you going to do? Woe is me, I'm in the pit. No, you got to look at everything that God has done in your life and say, God is with me. What's the worst thing that's going to happen to you? You're going to go to heaven. Is that so bad? You know, I don't like the idea of dying because I don't know how it's going to happen. Like everybody else, I'm like, oh, I just hope it goes like that, right? I would love to close my eyes here, open my eyes there, and not have to go through all kinds of suffering, right? But sometimes that's not the way it is with God. But you see, we have to understand, God isn't causing this problem on Jeremiah because Jeremiah did something wrong. He's causing this problem with Jeremiah for a greater good. When Jeremiah comes out of that pit, do you think Jeremiah just says, whew, thanks for taking me out of the pit. Man, I'm done now. No, Jeremiah, it's like Paul when Paul got stoned, right? It says, he's dead, folks. When you read that scripture, he's dead. He got stoned, he was dead. They left him. And it says, he stood up, went right back into the city. Man, I'll tell you, would I do that? I don't know. But you see, I don't want to get off. So, I mean, we're going to have problems, folks. Things are going to start to happen. I mean, we have mild persecution going on in this country right now for Christians, conservatives, whatever you want to call them. But it's going to be ramped up. And as a watchman, I have to tell you, it's coming. You need to prepare. How do you prepare? Draw close to God. Draw close to God. Rely on God. Everything that's happening in your life, God is orchestrating. You got to keep that in mind. The good and the bad, it doesn't really matter. When Anita went into the hospital and they thought she was going to die, we were like, okay, Lord, you know, if it's her time, take her. Don't let her suffer. But what happened? She came out of the coma and she started praising God. I mean, it's amazing. God said, I'm not done with you. And she's now a testimony to her family over there who didn't know the Lord. See, we don't know. We never know the greater purpose that God has for us as individuals, for us as a church, for the body of Christ in general. God is working. And we have to understand that he's greater than anything the enemy can throw at us. That's a comfort. So we need to decide, do I live in fear or do I prepare for the fire and go through the fire where God's going to carry me through? All right, we'll close in prayer.